शुकाल परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति विदान गोस्वामी महर्षि प्रभुपाद की जय नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राज आचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धानंद सरस्वती महर्षि प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू शील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय संसार सागरे मग्नम दीनमहं करुणानिधे कर्मग्राह गृहीतांगं मां उद्धर भवार्णवाल श्रीमल भागवदाख्योयम् प्रत्यक्ष कृष्णमेव हि स्वीकृतोऽसि मया नाथ मुक्त्यर्थं भव सागरे मनोरथे मदीयोऽयम् सफला सर्वदा त्वया निर्विघ्नेनैव कर्तव्यं दासोऽहं तव केशव भवे भवे यथा भक्ति पादयोस्तव जायते तथा कुरुष्व देवेश नाथस्तु नो यद प्रभो नाम संकीर्तनं यस्यां सर्वपाप प्रणाशनं प्रणामो दुःख शमन तं नमामि हरिं परम जन्माद्यस्य यदोन्वयादिदरदश्चार्तेष्वभिज्ञस्वरात् तेने ब्रह्म हृदय आदि कवये मुह्यन्दियल सूरय तेजो वारिमृतं यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि धर्मप्रोज्जितगैदवोत्र परमो निर्मल्सराणं सदं वेद्यं वास्तवमत्र वस्तु शिवदं तापत्रयोन्मूलनम् श्रीमद्भागवते महामुनिकृते किं वा परैरीश्वर सद्यो हृद्यवरुध्यदेत्र कृतिभिः शुश्रूषुभिः तल्क्षणाल् निगमकल्पतरोर्गलितं फलं सुखमुखादमृतद्रवसंयुतं पिबदभागवतं रसमालयं मुहुरहोरसिया भुवि भावुकाः सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्यादिहेतवे तापत्रयविनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः यं प्रव्रजन्तमनुपेतमपेतकृत्यं द्वैवाहिनो विरहकादरमजुहाव पुत्रेति तन्मैदयत्तरवोऽभिनेतु तं सर्वभूतहृदयं मुनिमानतोऽस्मि यस्वानुभावमखिलश्रुतिसारमेकम् अध्यात्मदीपमदितिदीर्षदां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाः पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुमुपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम् नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेल् कमनीयकिशोरमुग्धमूर्ते कलवेणुकुणिदातृदाननेन्दोः मम वाचि विजृम्भतां मुरारेर्मधुरीं नकनिकापि कापि कापि नमो ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशधारिणे श्रीमद्गुरुचरणारविन्दाभ्यां नमः वन्दे नन्दव्रजस्त्रीणां पादरेणुमभीष्टश व्यासं हरिगदोद्गीतं पुनाधि भुवनत्रयं गोपी चरणारविन्दपरमाणवे नमः पीताम्बरं गणविराजितचक्रशङ्खं कौमोदगीसरसिजं करुणासमुद्रम् राधा सहायमतिसुन्दरमन्दहासं വദാലേശ മനുഷ്യം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണും ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ പ്രസദാം പുരതോ മമ മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാ മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീ ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീ അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ പുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്ന പാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേളാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധന വർത്തിനി സുതീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജസ്വരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥ ഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ഷൽപദൈരഹരഃ പേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദ മാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്ദിനി സ്തവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്യതേന മനസാവശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, we saw last Sunday how different devotees saying to Krishna not to lose that smarana, remembering Krishna. That smarana is so important because throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, what you will find is this smarana spoken about so strongly. Rukmini Devi said to Krishna in that chapter, that in the Karhichit chapter 61, that Karhichit Sukhamasinam, Rukmini says to Krishna that you can test me as much as you like, but I shouldn't fail in the test. She said, how do we fail? What does failure mean? Failure means that any moment you lose that smarana, remembrance of Krishna, that is a failure. Failure means that, right? So, she, Rukmini Devi said like that. Sudama said in the same thing, Tasyevame Sauhradam Sakhyam Aitri Dasyam Punar Janmani Janmanisyal Mahanubhavena Gunalayena Vishajastat Purusha Prasangaha. So, Sudama's point is this, that Mahanubhavena Gunalayena Krishna is Mahanubhavam, that Krishna is so kind to people that I have got this opportunity in my life to associate with you, who says, Sudama says. And I enjoyed this, Sauhardam, Sakhyam, Maitri, Dasyam. And all I am asking is, he says to Krishna, that life after life, if I have to come back, it doesn't matter. But let me have the association with your devotees. Their association, and again, life after life, I don't mind coming back, he said. Vishajasat Purusha Prasangaha. So you can see everywhere, whether it is Ajamala, whether it is Dhruva, whether it is Prahlada, or whether it is Rukmini, or whether it is Sudama, or Gobis, they all have only one thing to say to Krishna, that don't leave us. Don't leave our from our heart. Stay, please stay in our heart. This is the only thing they wanted. That remembrance of Krishna, that is give. And just like Bhagavatam said in the beginning itself, isn't it? In the second canto, when he said there, Edavan Sankhyogabhyam, Sodharma Varinishtaya, Janma Labha Parapumsam, Ande Narayana Smriti. That Smriti or Smarana of Krishna at the time of leaving this body is so important and critical. And if one is fortunate, Krishna will give us, and Krishna has to give us to that. You cannot make that happen on your own. That is in Krishna's hands. Because we don't know what the situation will be at the time of death. Many, many great devotees have already spoken about that also, like Kulasekhar always said, that at the time of death, the pranaprayana samaye kabhavata vitte kandhavarodhanam smaranam kudaste. He is asking, how do you expect me to remember you when everything is choking the throat? So, this one point of smarana is what is spoken again, and that it is only in connection with that smarana we saw. Gopi's example is the finest example, because in Bhagavatam they are glorified the highest. Dhanya Vrajastriya Urukrama Chitayana says. Ladies in Madhura were talking about the gopis like that. Yadohani avahanani madhanobaleva prangyangana kshuna ardidena gayandi chayinam anurektadiyaha ashrugandhyaha dhanya vrajastriya urukrama chitayana. Talking about gopis consciousness, they are saying that how fortunate these gopis are, that they were able to remember Krishna 24 hours without any difficulty. Gopis are saying, we couldn't forget him. Vismartam naiva shaknuma, they are saying. So to come to that state, Uddhava says, how is this possible to this degree to remember you? So all this was spoken in relationship with the Sharavat. What is Sharavat? The man who was making the arrows. When he was making the arrows, he was so focused on that, completely absorbed in that. Even when the king who ordered him to make the arrows, he was passing through, he didn't notice it. To such an absorption, that deep absorption, smarana should be like him. That's what these 24 spiritual masters, he is teaching us. The man who makes the arrows, his concentration in making the arrows is so focused on that he can't remember anything else except these arrows. To such a degree, if our smarana goes to that level, then we have also, that's a lesson Dattatreya says I learned from the arrow maker, Sharavat. So it is in that connection we spoke all these things. Starting from gopis and all the examples in the Bhagavadam, gopis conversations with Uddhava, when Uddhava saying to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, you have already reached the perfection of life. What do you want, need more than this? That you got, happened to be, that Krishna happened to be your son, and who is the Antaryami of all the living entities. And now what more do you need? And same thing, they talk about the gopis as well. Then we mention about the Uddhava's request to Krishna also. Namostude Mahayogin Prapanna Manishadhimam Yatha To Charanam Bhoje Radhisyala Nevayini. Again, the same smarana Uddhava is referring to. And Rukmini is saying the same thing. Sudama is saying the same thing. So, all these famous devotees, they have only one thing to say to Krishna. Please, stay in our heart. Never leave us. In different ways, whether it's Kunti Devi or anybody, it doesn't matter. They all have to say the same thing to him. So, the thing is that it is required to be like that, otherwise the mind will waver. This is all done Mano Nirodham, isn't it? That is 10th canto. 10th canto is Mano Nirodham, controlling the mind. How do you control the mind? To hold on to the permanent thing. And who is permanent? Krishna is permanent thing. This is the way to understand this, that permanent thing is only Krishna, nothing else in this world. And if everything else is changing constantly here in this world, body is changing, the world is changing. So if you if you absorb your mind in anything that is temporary, the mind will waver. So that's the reason jnanis will say focus on Antaryami, Krishna inside. Devotees will say Krishna, that's all. But the focus should be on the super soul, Antaryami inside, Krishna inside. And that is why they are saying, because if we focus there and if we are established in that, then this disturbance won't happen inside the mind. So, if you look at Rukmini's message also, starting with that verse, Shutva Guna and Bhuvana Sundara Shurnadam Te, there you can see this, that Rukmini is saying to Krishna that these days everyone is disturbed. But I have understood one thing, that the mind which is thinking about different people and getting disturbed, it becomes relaxed and very focused when I think about you, Rukmini says to Krishna. Right? That's what she said there. Shutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrunvadamte. There's a verse there. Yeah. Nirvishya karna vivarer haratongatapam rupam drisham drishimadam akhilartha labham toy achyuta vishadichittam apatrapam me. That 37th verse in the 52nd chapter in the 10th canto. 37. Shutva gunan bhuvana sundara shrunudam te nirvishya karna vivarer haradonga tapam rupam drisham drishimadam akhilartha labham toy achyuta avishadi chittam apatrapam me. So, hearing about Krishna, that all other tensions goes away, and this chinda vilapam, thoughts and lamentation, all that stops. If you say to somebody to be focused on the soul, Atmasarupam, or Antaryami, or Paramatma, if you say like that, it's a little difficult for people to take it, because it's somewhat very abstract for them, right? That is the reason Bhagavatam has given us in the form of Krishna. Krishna has been put in there, as the Krishna is that Antaryami inside. So rather, it's much easier when we say about remembering Krishna, rather than saying remembering Paramatma or remembering Antaryami in that way. So, all of them, Sri Narada Maharshi, Dhruva, and all of them, what did they mean by that? That mind which is going in all sorts of places, the mind is able to focus on this one thing. This one that is inside. That's what he's doing here. So, when you look at it that way, that when you think about Krishna is inside the heart, looking at Krishna's beauty, Krishna's form, the smiling face, the cheeks, and all the eardrops in Krishna, and Krishna's beautiful eyes. And all these things are spoken in a form that is easier for us to remember Him in that way, that form. And so that permanently our smarana memory gets stuck there. So you can see Dhruva Maharaj, when he was performing his penances, he said, when month after month, week after week, he was changing his intensity of austerity, isn't it? You know, in the Bhagavatam spoken, 6 days, 7 days, everything he was changing. First of all, he gave up everything, and then he started eating the leaves, dry leaves, and then he changed to water only, and then afterwards only he started accepting air. That's all what he accepted. Very intense austerity he performed, right? So, what that means is that more than any of those things, for him what matters more was this smarana. Remembering Krishna was more important for him. And that is when he says Krishna appeared in front of him and he reached the highest level, the peak of his smarana in that way. So, look at this way. After all this, Dhruva has reached a very high level. After performing all these penances, he reached a very high state of Krishna consciousness, right? At the same time, when he forgotten Krishna for a moment, it was at that time he heard this news that his brother Uttama was killed by the Yakshas and he wanted to take revenge on them. How could a person who has reached such a high state of consciousness could think of a revenge? Is that not surprising? Isn't it? So then Swayambhumanu comes and Kubera also comes later. So both of them spoke to him and Dhruva realized it, that the reason why that happened was, I forgotten Krishna. That's why. He says like that to Kubera, that for a moment, one Yaksha has killed his brother Uttama. What did Dhruva do? Go with the whole army and killing all the Yakshas without any mercy. They haven't done anything. Only one Yaksha has killed Uttama. So Dhruva realized this when Kubera came and spoke to him, that what has happened to you? You have performed penances for 6 months and pleased Krishna. And Krishna appeared in front of you and gave you all the guarantee that you will have 36,000 years here as a king and then you will come back to the spiritual world. In spite of all that, what's this revenge all about? How did the thought of revenge came to your mind? Only then Dhruva Maharaj says to him that for some time I lost that smarana of Krishna inside. This is why it has happened. So you can understand this, that Dhruva's point, that this is how much they value Krishna smarana, remembering Krishna, how much they value. Because they know very well that if I forget Krishna, things will go in the wrong direction. I will do something wrong. Because then you are in the control of the mind, or Maya will dictate something. This kind of thoughts will come, revengeful thoughts will come. Right. So later on, Kubera comes to him and speaks to him. Dhanada Vaja, it says in the Bhagavatam. Dhanada means Kubera. So he speaks to him. At that moment, he asked Dhruva, what do you want? What benediction do you want from me? And what was the answer? The answer was, Achalam Smriti, he says. Look at the verse, 4th canto, 12th chapter, 8th verse. Maitreya Maharshi is saying this, that when Kubera came and spoke to Dhruva that about this enmity towards Yakshas, and when Dhruva is intelligent, he is an intelligent person, he was able to recognize that it was a mistake on my part, which is most difficult for anybody to do. That he admitted that I have made a mistake. I shouldn't have done this, what I have done. I have gone out of control. First of all, Kshatriya nature. Reaction is very fast and swift. But here, now what happened was, he is regretting for what he has done. And he is admitting that to Kubera, to Dhanada. And he says to him, Maitreya Maharshi is pointing this out. Says, Sa Raja Rajena Varaya Chodito. Dhruvo Mahabhagavato Mahamadi. You don't see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's spoken like this. Mahabhagavatam. Mahabhagavato Mahamadi says Dhruva. Who is saying? Maitreya Maharshi is saying this. So you can see how they rate Dhruva. Mahabhagavato Mahamadi. Haresa Vavrau Chalidam Smritim Yaya Tarateyatnena Durateyam Tama. He said, all I am asking from you, from Kubera, he is saying, I should remember Krishna all the time. That's all. You see? So, how much important it is given to Smarana? Sri Shukha Brahmashri started with that, is it not? The small Bharata Sarvatman Bhagavan Haririshwara Shrodavya Kirtidavyascha Smartavyascha Chadabhayam. Then says, Edavan Sangheyogena Sudharma Parinishtaya Janma Labha Parapumso Andiye Narayana Smriti. That remembering Krishna, it is so important, spoken like that. So, here mentions again that Achalam Smriti, Achalam Smriti, because here that Achalam Smriti, uninterrupted remembrance of Krishna, that is when our thoughts are going in all kinds of things in this world, attracted by different objects or and different sankalpam inside our mind comes in, and due to that our emotions keep changing. When you have different thoughts and different emotions or different sankalpams, accordingly our emotions will also start changing, right? And it gradually it could become some vishamam or some disturbance inside, fear, anxiety, all these things are coming from that, due to various thoughts coming in, right? So, when they are coming, to be attentive to this one thing inside, which is Krishna inside, that is very difficult, to be focused on that, right? Because we know that Krishna is the only reality here. Nothing else is real, everything is changing. That's why it's not real. In the Shastram, what they say is, that anything that is changing is not truth. That's the definition in the Veda. Anything that is changing is not truth. Whether it is a world, whether it is a body, whether it is something different, doesn't matter what it is. If it is changing, it's not the truth. It is false. It's Maya. So, therefore, the only thing that doesn't change is Krishna. Antaryami inside. Present in everyone as a soul. That's him. And that doesn't change. He is permanent and fixed, always remains. So, so to be focused on that takes a long time to come to that awareness and be fixed up in that. So you can see from the beginning of the Bhagavatam itself, this is what is pushed to us, pushed through the different verses. Janmadhyasa yadonvayadidharadas charti shabhichyaswaral. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adigavaya Mukhyandiyal Suraya Tejo Varimritam Yadhavinimayo Yatra Trisargo Mrusha Dhamna Swena Sadal Nirastakogam Satyambaram Dhimahi. What is a Satyambaram Dhimahi? This unchanging truth in all of us, present inside as our Antaryami Krishna. That is the unchanging, that is that Satyambaram Dhimahi. Satyambaram Dhimahi means Krishnam Param Dhimahi. Basically, it is not it. And finally, at the end of Bhagavatam also says, Satyambaram Dhimahi, isn't it? So, Satyambaram Dhimahi, it begins, it finishes with Satyambaram Dhimahi. Right in the middle of Srimad Bhagavatam, Brahma says in the Garbhastuti, Satyambaram, Satyavradam, Satyavaram, Satyasya Satyam Nihidam Jasatye, Satyasya Satyam Krita Satya Netram, Satya Alpagam Tuam Sharanam Rabannaha. Again, Satyam is spoken. Garbhastuti begins with that when Krishna appeared. So, you can see all the famous personalities in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they recognize Krishna as the Satyam. Krishna as Satyam means, from their point of view, the only reality here is Krishna, nothing else. Everything else is changing, changing, changing. Creation, including creation, right? So, that is what, and that first verse Krishna is saying in his own way in the Chatushloki. Aham eva sam eva agre. Na anyal sadasal param. Paschad aham yadecha yo avashishyata sosmi aham. He is saying. The four verses. Kridyartam yat pradiyeda na pradiyeda jatmini tadidida alpanobhava yatha abhasam yatha atama. If you go through those four verses, it's all talking about this one Satyam inside. So, Bhagavatam begins with Satyam. Chatushloki is about Satyam, Garbhastuti is about Satyam, Bhagavatam finishes with Satyam, And it's all that satyam is actually referring to Krishna. So all other bhavam, what we have, it is all bhavam, isn't it? That is the only reality. And then what normally happens is that we have to understand this a little bit better. The jiva inside is a part of the subtle body. Jiva is a part of the subtle body. Krishna is outside the subtle body as Antaryami. When Krishna comes in, all the subtle body elements gets its power to operate. Mind, intelligence, ego, chittam. All four of them gets activated when in Krishna's presence. They get it. Once Krishna withdraws, there is nothing in the subtle body cannot work on its own. There is no power for that subtle body to do anything. So once Krishna influences or permeates into the subtle body, the jiva bhavam starts operating. Ahangaram is jiva. Manasa buddhi ahangaram chitam. Ahangaram is jiva. So that jiva gets its power from Antaryami, from Krishna. So buddhi is a part of that. And buddhi goes out and bring information, not information exactly. Buddhi takes the shape of the object, what we are looking at. So its eyes are seeing something. Buddhi goes and takes that form and brings it in. And jiva experiences it. This is how jiva experiences. For everything, buddhi has to go and take the shape of the object. And that is why we get it. Otherwise, how is this experience coming in? You are seeing somebody, but that experience of that person's name, form, everything is experienced inside us. We are registering it inside. How is that happening? Because buddhi does that. That's the job of the buddhi, right? So to be recognizing this all the time, the buddhi's activities like this, and to experiencing it inside, Antaryami's presence is required. Otherwise it won't happen. So that is what Bhagavatam is saying, that paramartha bhavam, that Krishna's presence inside, that's where our attention should fall onto. Because it's Krishna's presence that's making that happen. Otherwise not, right? So all that is spoken in that Sharavat. Prithvi, Vayur, Akasham, Apagni, Chandrama and Devi. If you go like that, the 24 spiritual masters, Urnanabhi, all that comes later. So then the next one in the 24 spiritual masters is talking about the sarpam, the snake. He says, the Tatravashi is saying, I learned a big lesson from the snake. I should travel alone, not with anybody else, right? And what else I learned? I also learned there is no necessity to build a house in this world to live. He's saying. And then he says that I don't have to adjust for others' convenience if I make it to myself on my own, if I live in this world, right? And I don't have to talk to anybody unnecessarily. When we say all these things, that I learned this from the sarpam. Madhuha, Harino, Meena, Pingala, Kurar, Arbhagam, Kumari, Sharavat, then sarpam. So sarpam or snake is saying here, whatever is spoken here, it will be very difficult to follow it through today. In our world, things like this, that you don't need a house to live, or you don't need, or you're not, you don't need to talk to anybody. And also, it's better to stay alone, away from everyone, right? But look at the spiritual benefits from that. What do you get? It gives you more freedom for contemplation and reflection. Mind won't be dragged by other things in this world. You can pull back yourself from the world a lot. And another thing he mentioned was not to live in one place forever. All expected from us is that even while living in the house, to develop this mentality inside that I don't belong to this place. In that way to live. That's what is expected. By living in the house. Krishna says two different things. One, live as a guest in the house. To come out, because the house and all has gone inside our mind so deeply that it won't go out, go away easily from us. It's so deep inside. So first thing he says, you live in the house like a guest. Secondly he says, you live in the body as though it's a rented apartment, this body. Because it's temporary again. To constantly remind us that house is not permanent, the body is also not permanent. So even while living in this body, Krishna is saying, you take this as a rented apartment. Because rented apartments you may have to ask to leave any time. It's not your permanent abode, isn't it? To such an extent, our mind should adjust with all these things. Otherwise what happens is, particularly in a householder's life, for brahmacharis and sannyasis it's a little different, because they are not staying, they don't own anything. They live in ashrams, temples and places like that. So they won't be so much affected by these things. Whereas those who live at home, and some people become so absorbed at home, fixing the house and doing it up all the time, every 2 years, painting, decorating, and and then you sell the house, somebody else comes, he's not happy with that, and he pulls out the whole thing and replaces everything. So all, what does that show? That shows that you feel so attached to that property where you are living, and you feel that it's yours and you're a part of that. It is deep rooted, it is gone inside. That's what it means. Krishna says that's not very helpful. He is asking Uddhava, leave everything and walk outside from this. And it is not easy. So therefore, that is why he is saying here. He said that as in the house you live like a guest. Why? Because then there won't be unnecessary arguments about things. You are just like a guest. The guests don't argue so much. They come and they live for a few days and go. That should be the relationship with others and the family. And then as far as your own body is concerned, you take it as a temporary apartment. You are renting it for some time. Because you have to leave this body as well one day. If all this is favorable, Krishna is saying here, that he learned this, Dattatreya says he learned from the snake. What does a snake do? Snake moves around, and if it finds a hole, it goes inside. And after going inside, if there is any mice or rats inside, he will eat them. He will eat them and then he will stay in that house. In that house, right? So, in this way, and if somebody comes and chases the snake, he will stay inside, and as soon as he finds an escape route, he will come out and escape from the people. Because he knows that there is danger outside, right? Always hiding in a hole somewhere. That's what the snakes do. Always hiding, isn't it? So, what that means is that I learned, Dattatreya says, I learned from the snakes not to keep the distance from people, not to get closer with anybody, right? So, guhashaya, apramatto, guhashaya. It says so many words there. If you look into the verses. Griharambohi dukhaim ivanascha adruvatmana sarpa prakritam vishma pravishya sukhamedate. 15th verse. Ego narayano deva purva srishtam somayaya samhritya kalagalaya kalpandam idam ishwara egam eva adhideyo അഭൂത് ആത്മാധരോ അഖിലാശ്രയ കാലേന ആത്മാനുഭാവേന സാമ്യം നീതാസു ശത്രുഷു സത്വാദിഷു ആദി പുരുഷ പ്രധാന പുരുഷേശ്വര പ്രധാന പുരുഷേശ്വര ഇൻ ദിസ് വേ ഹി സേയിങ് സോ ദി ഇൻ ദി ലെസൺ വാട്ട് അവർ the Tathagatamahārṣi is saying, if you look at the 14th verse, that's important verse. Eka chāri aniketaha. Eka chāri means traveling alone. Aniketaha doesn't have any place of his own to stay. Then apramatha. Apramatha means that he doesn't do anything rushing, thinks about it, and only after thinking about it in a very peaceful way. Apramato, guhashaya, and always lives in a cave, like our Dattatreya does. He said, I learned all this from the snake.
Alakshyamanam acharyar munireg alpa bhashana.
Nobody will understand what your plans are. Nobody understands your plan. And therefore, alakshyamana. And you don't talk too much. Only very minimum what is required. Alpa bhashana. It should be the nature of a person thinking about self-realization, he says. But all these things are difficult for us, isn't it? It's natural in our nature to go to everybody, talk to people, and to remain aloof from everything is very difficult. But at some stage it is required to withdraw from the world, because it cannot go on like this forever. And he says here that his question is, body has got an expiry date. And something that is going to have an expiry date, why do you want to build a home for that? You look at that 15th verse, he says, Griharambho hi dukhaya vibhalascha dhruvatmana sarpa paragradam veshma pravishya sukhame tathe. He says, that Griharambho hi dukhaya vibhalascha dhruvatmana. To buy a house itself is a big endeavor. Whole life you have to work to buy it, and then to maintain it, which is more difficult. And for what? To maintain this body, which is not going to stay anyway. So his point is that why you put all your invest in your energy in this one thing of building a house and protecting it all the time? Better than that, he says, better to live in other places, wherever place is available, and adjust with that the rest of the life and leave the world without getting affected by the house. So, what he's saying is, adhruvam. Adhruva means that which is not permanent. That is adhruvam. Body is adhruvam. Means adhruvalpana, he says. Body is temporary. And why does the body require a permanent house then? If body is temporary, why does it need a permanent house, he's saying. If you hear all these things, what he's saying is that you can give up this desire for buying big properties and living in there, and that kind of desire, what is there in young people's mind, it will be there for a long time. Society is telling us you have to upgrade your thing, isn't it? Going up the ladder, as they say. Whole life this is the only business, going up the ladder. So all that things you can avoid if you have this awareness inside. So instead of getting concerned about it too much, To bring inside a bhavam, a mood which is satisfied and peaceful. That's what's more important, right? So there are many things to learn from this. It may not be possible to make it 100% practical in our life, but These are ideal situation for self-realization, but what is possible, we should take it, right? So Narayana or Ishwara, he says, in the next verse, you look, 16th verse, Ego Narayano Deva Purva Srashtam So Mayaya Samhritya Kalagalaya Kalpandam Idam Ishwara. That due to power of the time, influence of time, Narayana, Supreme Personality, Krishna, Ishwara, he expands the material nature. Material nature expands due to that. And through this material nature, he is presenting himself through different forms, right? And at the end, what happens? He withdraws everything to himself, and then he becomes Egam Evam Adhidiyam. Next words he says, Egam Eva Adhidiyo Abhudalma Adharo Akhilashraya Kalen Alpmanu Bhavena Samyam Nitasu Shaktishu Sattvadi Shadi Purusha Pradhana Purusheshwara. So initially it was only him present, and then he expanded himself into this creation, and at the end he decides to withdraw the whole creation back. And he explains to us that he remains without any upadhi, and Krishna is not asking for any help from anyone to expand in this way. And there he is saying that, see that verse 17, 18, all of them, is showing to us that the secret of creation, how creation has happened. Yeah, he's saying here, initially there is only Krishna there, Narayana was there. Kale Nalpan Bhavana Samyam Nidasu Shaktishu Satwadi Shadi Purusha Pradhana Purusheshwara. So Krishna has got this power to do anything, what he wants, right? And from him, with the help of Maya, this creation happens. And the whole creation goes back to him. In order to teach this to us, only Shastram says, Krishna created the spider. This principle to teach us. Spider was created for this purpose. It's shocking, isn't it, when we say this to somebody. The spider, the technique of spider, because spider is spoken not only in the Bhagavatam, it's in the Upanishads as well. The spider is spoken. Just to tell us that creation and the spider works in the same way, both of them. They operate in the same way. Yeah. Because Atma is the controller. Ishwara, everything, right? That comes into contact with Maya, which is three modes of material nature. And under the influence of time, it gets agitated. Maya gets agitated. And then Jnana Shakti, Ichha Shakti, Kriya Shakti, the three kinds of power comes from there. And Kriya Shakti, or power of creation, is Kriya Shakti. And that is manifested in the form of this creation. It's Kriya Shakti that is manifested in the form of creation in front of us, right? And in the same way, all of us also, you look at ourselves, our birth and our existence and our disappearance from this world and our material existence is similar to this Urnanabhi, like the spider. We are born one day and we got this body all set up for us, and we body starts growing up, expanding like this, exactly like the way spider does with its web. From the spider comes that what you call the thread-like thing, and it weaves the whole thing, web. It makes a web, and eventually it pulls the whole web back into its own body, and it sits quiet. So, and when the web is outside, different flies, other things come stuck in that, and the spider eats them. So, he's saying here that this world is like that, the creation itself, in the samashti. It's like that. It has come from Maya, agitated by the time, and then it comes out in this form. And eventually it goes back. Krishna withdraws back everything into himself, right? So from verses 16 to 20, it's all about that, about this spider thing. It's a very detailed explanation there. A lot of technical things spoken in there. That first of all, in order to talk about Urnanabhi, Urnanabhi means spider, he's saying that the realize about the destruction of this creation. And Krishna has all the power in him to do anything. And Prakriti is that state where it starts working. And from Prakriti everything comes in, and at the end it withdraws, and this is only a Krishna's leela. And here when Krishna plays this role, he is called Narayana, right? So then Parabaranam Paramam Aste Kaivalya Samhita Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoho Nirupadhyam. See the second line, Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoho Nirupadhya. That Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoham. This word has come many times in the Bhagavatam. In the, you will find this in Vasudeva and Devaki prayers, you will find. Then in the Niminavayogi Samadham you will find. Prahlada says the same thing, this word. Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoho Nirupadhyam. That means that the Kevala Anubhavam means that you cannot see him, but you can experience him. That is the nature of soul, consciousness. Soul means consciousness. Consciousness, you cannot see him by any of your senses. But you can experience him, which you are doing already. Kevala anubhavam. Anubhavam means experiencing it. Anandam. And when he is present, you can have blissful nature in his presence. Sandoho nirupadhyam. And he cannot have any upadhi. Upadhi means like the body, mind and all that is not applicable to him. He is pure consciousness. That's what it is saying. You know, it is so difficult to define the soul. To tell someone what soul is, how will you say? This is the best way of saying about the soul. Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoho Nirupadhyam. So therefore, Shastram has taken this position to talk about the soul in this way. Because you told people about the soul, they don't connect with it, do they? They cannot understand what this soul is all about. You tell anybody that there is a soul in the person, the soul is that's keeping the body functioning. Most of the people are just blinking, thinking that what's this you are talking about? It's not. That is why the science has gone in the other direction. Even scientists don't understand. They also don't understand. They have gone behind the matter again, looking for the matter. But soul is such a thing, Kevalanu Bhavananda Sandoho Nirupadhyam. That is why Prahlada said this, Vasudev said this, Nimi Navayogi Samvadam, one of the Navayogis have said that. And then here now, the Tatramashi is also saying this. Because in their view, to talk about the soul, it has to be only spoken this way. The best way to present the soul is kevalam, kevala anubhavam. Anubhavam, kevalam, anubhavam, anandam, sandoham, nirubhadiyam. All these different features of the soul. For people who are thinking about all these things, it's a very good thing to think about, right? So,
people who have freed themselves from the people who have freed themselves from the material existence, for them and for all great Mahatmas like Lord Brahma and others, for all of them, is this state, Kevala Anubhavanandam, that they know that they are not the body very much, at all. They realize that they are Kevala Anubhavanandam, Sandoham. And their Namam and Rupam is not there. Name and form is not mentioned there. You see that? That's why it's said like this. And that state, Kaivala Avastha, is called Kaivalyam. Kaivalyam. Kaivalyam means liberated state. When you are in this Kevala Anubhavananda Sandoha Nirubadiyam, you are in the liberated state. That is the self-realization state. Right? That means you don't have any Upadhi. When you have a body, you have a Upadhi. Mind, intelligence, all these are Upadhis, right? So, and again he says, Keval Altmanubhavena, Somayam Trigunatmiyam, Samshobayan Sridatyado Taya Sutra Marindama. In the next verse, he is saying that. So, in the balanced state, which is Maya is in the balanced state normally, it gets woken up at the time of creation. And instead of samavastha, sama means balanced state, it becomes to unbalanced state, which is the vishamavastha. At that time, Krishna's power enters and it agitates the mahatattvam. And that power that is coming from Krishna to agitate mahatattvam, it's called sutram. It's called sutram, right? So many, many billions and trillions of universes exist, and all of them is dependent on this power called sutram that comes from Krishna. I know we can't even comprehend all these things. It's beyond our capacity. But how did they get to understand all these things? They look into your own self. When Krishna is present inside, everything gets activated in the body, isn't it? This is the connection between Samashti and Veshti. In Veshti, when Krishna is present inside, our mind works, intelligence works, ahankaram works, chittam works, vasana works, prarabdham works, everything works, body also works, apart from everything. So only when he is present, Krishna's power comes in. Otherwise, none of them can work. They are all dead matter then. In the same way, in this huge creation, billions and trillions of universes, when that power comes in, everything operates, activates, right? And that is why that extra power that comes in, kalam, time has agitated the maya, trigunatmika. In the balanced state, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, they are balanced. But unbalanced state is called vishamavastha. When one modes of nature becomes stronger than the other two. That's what it is called. Normally they are in the balanced state. So that is samavastha. Vishamavastha means, because all this is beyond our imagination, these three modes of material nature, even people don't understand that it exists. So we are talking about how the material nature is working, the three modes of nature. So it becomes more difficult, isn't it? So look at the Rishi's subtle vision in all these things. They are saying that, Shukra Brahma Rishi is saying here, Dattatreya Maharshi is also saying the same thing, that the unbalanced state happens to Maya. At that time, in order that creation to start from that state, from Krishna comes a special power which is called Sutram. Sutram, right? And that power is one present in all the creation, all billions and trillions of universes, like a thread, it's going through all of them. That power goes through that, right? So, but here what is happening is its creation, therefore Kriya Shakti has come, and this change of Maya in this way happening is called Mahatattva. It's called Mahatattva. And from the spider you can see that this web, it has worn, spider's web, it has worn, right? And the thread that is keeping all that thread together, the thread behind that, is this Mahatattvam in creation. Mahatattvam in creation. Tamahu Triganavyaktim Srajandim Vishwadomukham Yasmin Prodamidam Vishwam Yena Samsarade Puman. That verse is from the Upanishads. Straight away taken from there and put it here. Right? So, I know this topic is a very much a requires a lot of reflection and contemplation to understand that instead of explaining to someone about this creation that God came and created 7 days time or whatever way you present it like that, in different ways people say this, but when Upanishads present creation, they have a different purpose. What is that? They are saying here that actually creation itself is an illusion. It has no reality. So because they're saying, you take your own example of dream state, for example. Yeah? What happened in the dream state? We are like this now in this body. We go to sleep at night, right? And in the dream, how come you are able to expand like that? So many people in the dream, and so many activities happening in the dream, good or bad, whatever it is. Nobody has come physically there, but you are experiencing it, isn't it? In the dream. So much experiences happens, right? And you yourself have expanded like that. Right? Remember, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned this in the second canto, first chapter itself. He said, if you have not understood this, don't go further. That's what he said. That all your studying Bhagavatam is a waste of time, he says. Understand this principle, he said. The last words in the first chapter of the second canto. Very important. Now and then when Sukadeva Goswami says something, it will hit you there straight away. And it will wake you up that how rishis are seeing this. Remember when I spoke about the fifth canto? Same way. Sukadeva Goswami sees from a rishi's position everything. So what he was saying was that you are doing the same thing in the night. You are expanding yourself to many people, many objects, everything. This whole room you can create in the night. You cannot do it. It has to happen in the dream. Is it not? Right? And after an hour or so, or whatever time your dream lasts, the whole thing goes back into yourself again. What an amazing thing that's happening in that dream. Is it not? Right? So, but when you have expanded like that in the dream, in reality only you are existing there with this body. Only you are existing there. Only when you are dreaming, all the rest of the world has come in front of you, right? But in reality, only yourself in the same way, he says. In the same way, this creation. But we cannot even visualize this or comprehend this, isn't it? So, when you wake up in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, that is when the world comes in us, isn't it? The world manifests. And then we open up and mind has come, ahankaram has come, and then you feel that life has begun. That's our illusion in there. Right? So, but all this is happening during the day. Exactly like the way it has happened in the dream state. In the daytime, when you wake up in the morning, this is what's happening. Inside is expanding, and really the world is manifesting in front of us. And in the night, when everything is over, the whole thing goes back into you and you go to deep sleep. Shishuka Brahmarshi uses the word Swapna Janetshi Deiga. If you look at that verse, second kind of first chapter. Swapna Janetshi Deiga, he says. Sa Sarvadhi Vritti. Anibhuda Sarvam. The last verse, 39. Sa Sarvadhi Vritti Anibhuda Sarvam. Alma Yetha Swapna Janekshidaiga. Tam Satyam. That is the only reality, that Atma inside, in whom all these things are happening. Tam Satyam Ananda Nidhim Bhajeda. Your focus should be there, he said. Who? Shukha Brahmarshi is saying, our focus should be on that Atma inside. Na anyatra, not anywhere else. Why? Sajedyada Atma Bada. If you get focused elsewhere, you are lost. Sometimes he makes statements like this, that he is saying self-realization means, first of all, be focused on the self. Self is the beginning of everything. From the Atma. The world has come from the self. It is the same principle all Upanishads talk about it. And in the same thing, we studied this in the Dakshinamurti Sotram also. Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari. This is a creation within us. Because this is the source where the world has come. When you wake up in the morning, what happens? It is this world manifests for us, isn't it? We think eyes are opening and no. Eyes are not the whole thing. Eyes are only senses. It is inside our subtle body that wakening up happens. Ahangaram comes. And the mind. That ahangaram and manasa, these two together creates this, experiences this world for us. And both ahangaram and manasa is operating because of Krishna inside there. That's what he is saying here. Atma yatha swapna janekshideika. That verse is very critical. It is such an important verse. And obviously that's why in the beginning of Bhagavatam, when he started speaking to Parikshit, at the end he put this verse in and made Parikshit to think about it. You see? So, in a smaller level, this is what it is. In a small scale. In a big scale, this whole creation. That's all. Right? So, in order to make this understand to everybody, Krishna has created this spider. Krishna has created this spider. Brahmana is saying, Dattatreya is saying here, that this spider created this thread from that, and without breaking it, over a period of time, it makes a web around it and sits in the middle of that, and sitting there in the middle of the web, it catches its prey, the food, and after eating and satisfied enough, all this thread that has come out, it's managed to pull it back, the whole thing, into its body again, in its body again. So but something we have to be careful about. What's that? This spider has got this nature. It will come, it will do this and it will pull back everything, right? So we shouldn't think the same way that Krishna is also like spider. That's a mistake when you bring these comparisons into it. The spider has a time span it will live, isn't it? After that, spider will die. But in the total creation coming from Krishna, it's not like that. This is only a, how do you call it? Is it called metaphor? Metaphor, isn't it? Metaphor, you know what metaphor means. Just to make us aware that how the system works, that's all. But in every aspect it is not the same, in the sense that Krishna's creation is so big and vast. But the principle of that creation you can learn from the spider. Principle. But unlike the spider, Atma, from whom this whole creation comes, is permanent. It's not like the spider, temporary. Spider is temporary, but Atma is permanent. That's the important thing. Only to teach us creation, maintenance and dissolution, this example is spoken. Example is spoken, right? Just to understand that the diversity of Krishna's creation, right? The reason why this spider was created, but the purpose is that to teach us this big tattvam behind it, of this process of creation, right? That's what has been taught, right? Okay. Bhagavatam scholars, they say that Krishna is teaching us this principle in the form of spider. Krishna has come in the form of spider and teaching us this principle, he says. A very good example, this is. That's why it is so famous. It's in the Upanishads as well. So, Urnanabhi. That's the name in the Bhagavatam. Urnanabhi. Now, when we study these different spiritual masters, we have to be careful also. We heard about the honeybee, isn't it, earlier? We heard about honeybee, remember? So, honeybee collects the honey, but somebody else will come and take it away. He loses everything. But because it is like that, honeybee cannot stop collecting the honey. It will continue to collect the honey. There, Shastram will say like this, that it's collecting this honey for its babies. The honeybees are collecting the honey for the babies. They're collecting the honey, right? So, Brahmana is saying here that when you take these examples, you have to also understand what the Dattatreya Maharshi learned from the example. And that's what matters to us. For those who are studying this, they have to learn what Dattatreya has learned from them and not study the example all the time and make your own analysis about it. We shouldn't do that, he says. Otherwise, if you start directly taking the examples into your own life and start thinking, you may start thinking that some things can go wrong in your conclusions, right? So, then, Urnabhi, then also you see, he mentioned about that bird, you remember, Kurira birds, a little bird. So, he said, I understood the secret from it. What is that? He's not saying that we should do like the Kurira bird. You remember, Kurira bird was having a piece of meat in the mouth. And the big birds came to attack, and it left everything and ran away to escape, to protect itself, right? So, what it's saying is that we should do exactly the same thing. That's not what it is saying. That's not what it is saying. So, mistakenly people will think like that. Oh, I should learn this from the Kurira bird, and from now on people will attack me, so therefore I should throw away everything and walk away from there. And similarly, you know, human nature is like that. When we talk about the spider, people will start trying out what is the technology behind it. Then how the spider is making it happen. What is the technique behind it in that way? So these are all actually metaphors to make us understand the spiritual values behind it. And to make it easier for us to understand, these examples are shown, right? So when it says that spider is a spiritual master, or Kurira bird is a spiritual master, we should always understand the Shastram behind it, the secret of what Shastram is telling us, right? Or ആധ്യാത്മിക രഹസ്യം. ആധ്യാത്മിക രഹസ്യം മീൻസ് സ്പിരിച്വൽ സീക്രട്ട് ഓഫ് ദാറ്റ്. ആൻഡ് വി ഷുഡ് ലേൺ ടു ഗെറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് ആസ്പെക്ട് ഓഫ് എവറിഥിങ് ടു ഇംപ്ലിമെന്റ് ഇൻ അവർ ഓൺ ലൈഫ്. റൈറ്റ്. ഇൻ ദി സെവൻത് കാൻറ്റോ വി ഹേർഡ് ദിസ് ദാറ്റ് വേർഎവർ ദ മൈൻഡ് തിങ്സ് അബൌട്ട് സംതിങ് or accordingly whatever sankalpam is inside your mind, gradually we will become that. This example is there in the seventh canto also. That is that supeshakrit, it says peshakara, that I don't know what the word in English is for that particular one which builds a nest. You'll see on the wood and all many time rafters. And then it brings the worm from outside and puts it in and stands outside, stay outside and keeps looking at it and frightens this worm. And gradually the worm changes into this form. So, whatever, seven canton this was spoken, whatever we think what we are, if you constantly think like that, you will turn to that eventually, right? That is why Narada Maharshi said that it is because of this only. You remember Narada Maharshi said one thing in the seventh canto. What was that? Gopya kamad bhayal kamsam desha chaidyadayo nirpa sambandho vrishnaya snehal yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho. What does that mean? That if in your sankalpam what it is there, gopis had this sankalpam kamam inside, kamam, lusty feelings towards Krishna in their mind, constantly they were thinking like that, in that way. And Kamsa had fear in his mind. Shishubala had hate in his mind. So different people had different sankalpam inside. And when that sankalpam or bhavam inside, when its intensity gets the highest, heaviest, maximum, at that time you get liberated. You remember these verses? The seventh canto, beginning? When Parishad Maharaj asked that question, isn't it? So he answered that, Gopya kamad bhayat kamsa. So otherwise, that verse is a little bit confusing, because Yudhishthira is saying, I am offering obeisances and respect to Krishna and loving relationship. But Kamsa and Shishupala and the gopis, they all took Krishna in a different way. They didn't do exactly like the way I have done. We have surrendered, Pandavas have shown love to Krishna. Yuyam bhaktya vayam vibho, Narada Maharshi also said. So, how come they all got liberated? What it means is this, that the bhavam inside is what matters. The bhavam inside, or sankalpam, in which if you have some connection with Krishna, whatever it may be, if it becomes very powerful inside, eventually you will become like that. You will develop all Krishna's qualities. Like the way this, how do you call that? What's it called? Ground grasshopper. It's another one. It has I don't know what the name in English is. It's something that brings the worm from outside and puts it inside, and then it will stay outside. You'll see its nest in so many places in the wood. Looks like wasp, maybe. Kind of wasp, isn't it? Yeah, it brings it in and then it puts it inside and then sits outside and looks at it. And due to that power of intensity of looking at it, gradually that whether it is a poetical thing or not, I don't know, it turns into this wasp later, that thing. So, the worm, when it gets inside, it's fearful of this wasp outside. And gradually that bhavam, it develops into that form, right? So you have to understand this one, that this wasp phenomenon, the wasp bringing the worm and changing into a wasp later, changing the worm into a wasp, is a similar way that seventh canto verse is saying. Which one? Gopi is through lust connected to Krishna. And when that lust becomes intense, they became like Krishna. Means they realize that they are not the body. That is Krishna's qualities, isn't it? Krishna doesn't identify with any body, any form like we do. He has no form. That is why in Bhagavatam many places it says like that. Na nama rupam. No name, no form. That is his pure state. So gopis also reach that state because of the intensity of thinking about Krishna. Even though it was in a lusty way. They didn't know Krishna was Supreme Personality of Godhead or anything like that. Somehow the other attraction developed for Krishna and started thinking about Krishna that way, and it happened in the same way, like the wasp has, like the worm which the wasp has brought has changed into wasp form. In the same way, Gopya Kamal, gopis also through their lusty thoughts, they turned into Krishna's, means realized state. Similarly, Kamsa, he kept on thinking about Krishna all the time, frightened of Krishna, that he's coming to get me, he's coming to finish me. That fear kept growing inside. When the fear becomes so intense, Kamsa got liberated. Means, this is in the bhakti language we say like this, that he went back to spiritual world, went to Vaikuntham and all that. What actually that means is, that jiva as Kamsa has lost its jiva form and came to the atma form, paramatma form. Jivatma status has gone and paramatma stage it has come to. Same thing with Shishupala. Hated Krishna, but when the hate becomes so intense at that stage, that intensity is more important. And the best example in the creation for that is this wasp and the worm. You have to connect these two. In seventh canto it was spoken about this, never didn't talk about it in connecting these two. But here you have to connect it like that. Similarly, for us, ordinary people like us, for us also, if our smarana of Krishna, memory of Krishna, he's saying here that look at this verse 22. Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiya snehal dveshal bhayadvabi yadi tatat swarupatam. Now, what we studied in the seventh canto, gopis and Kamsa and Shishupala and all that, the tattvam behind that is spoken here. There, they didn't talk about the tattvam behind it, how it happens. Only it said, Gopya Kamad Bhayal Kamsa Deshe Chaityadayo Nirva Sambandham Rishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktiya Vayam Vibho. One verse, finished in the seventh canto. The tattvam of that verse is this 22, verse 22. He says, Yatra yatra mano dehi dharayet sakalam dhiya snehal dveshal bhayadvabi yati tatat swarupatam. So any of those sneham for love, dvesham, hate, bhayam, fear, through whichever it is, if your mind gets very firm, established in that, that means the intensity has to be very high. Not that it should come and go. If it comes and goes, that means the intensity is not there. But if your mind gets completely established in that, hate means real hate. You have to hate Krishna like that. Or real fear of Krishna to such a degree. The problem with all of us is we neither have here fear, nor we have any hate, nor we have any love. We are completely in a neutral stage. That is why the problem is. Now that's what he is saying here. So when the intensity is the maximum, at that time the mind in a person will accept that form. You know, this tattvam is very big in the Bhagavatam spoken, right? This is the same thing what happens at the time of death also. At the moment we are sitting there, we got sick, we are old, we got sick, lying in the deathbed, yeah? And we keep on lying there, and time has come to leave the body, right? And it is at last a few minutes when we start realizing that I am not this body. Up to that time you are thinking I am this body. And at that time, the time has come, prarabdham is over, you have to leave the body. So at that time what happens inside us? Whatever samskaram you have developed throughout your life, and of all the different samskaram, whichever samskaram is the most powerful, that will come on the top in our thoughts. In our thoughts it will come. And when those thoughts come, suddenly we started thinking, that will take a form, whichever it form. Suppose your attachment somewhere to some person, that form will come. Or you have something else, whatever it may be, it's very difficult to say what will come in everyone's mind at that time. At one particular critical point, you will start thinking, am I not that? Up to that time you are thinking, I am this body. But when the time has come to leave the body, at that time what's happening inside is that whatever that powerful samskaram was inside, accordingly it will take a form and come in front of us, and you will start thinking, am I not that? And that is how you leave this body. It's all dependent on the mind inside. Mind will decide everything. Mind is the one which is controlling it from inside. And this is the story what has been spoken in the Bharata's case also. Remember Bharata, how he became the deer. He got attached to the deer. He has performed so much sacrifices when he was as a king, Emperor Bharata. So much sacrifices. Due to that he got purified himself. And due to purification, Satugunam has built up inside. And he came to Gandaki river to perform penances, right? And he's sitting there day after day, chanting Gayatri and performing everything right. But some prarabdham was there in him, which he was not aware of. And that prarabdham has caught him in the form of Satugunam. So much Satugunam inside, which made him to feel that he has to protect that baby deer. And then everything gone in another direction. Instead of getting liberated, what happened? He became attracted to the deer and he started thinking, that is this deer, should I not protect the deer? And this thought started coming to him. And mother deer died straight away while jumping over the stream. He died. Baby deer was coming in the water. And that made him think, oh, Krishna has done this because I have to protect him, he has given it to me. This feeling, that is Satugunam it is, trapped him there. And then brought up that deer, rest of the time he could have fed the deer and let it go with the other deer group which was in the forest. He didn't do that. Somehow got attached to it, and at the time of death, this attachment to the deer came up in the forefront. And he started thinking, am I not that deer? At that time, he lost his identity with his Bharata's body and got identity with the deer body. Who did this? The mind. The mind does that. So, in Bhagavatam, you have to connect all these things. Bharata Maharaj's life. What is spoken in the 7th canto. What is spoken here in the wasp story. All, if you connect together, it's all talking about the transmigration of the soul. How it happens. To get this idea in our understanding deeply, otherwise you can't learn all these things on an intellectual level by conducting experiments and going into science and all that. You won't learn this. How will you know it? Science cannot show you all these things. These are coming from rishis who have studied creation very well, and in their samadhi state, they have realized this is what is happening. And that's what they have given to us. And we have to accept it that way. Otherwise it's very difficult. This, most of the people find it very difficult to understand this transmigration, isn't it? Transmigration of the soul. As soon as you say something, they will say to you that, so you believe in rebirth, do you? They will say, what's the question of believing? Do you believe it or not? That's what's happening here. You like it or not, that's your, not your choice. What is otherwise, why so many different forms here? Why so many different bodies? People are like that. They think that everything has to be in their way, it has to work. It doesn't work like that. Everything is not, science cannot answer all these questions. And so this punarjanmam or transmigration of the soul is a well-established thing in the Vedam and in the, all the Shastrams. And as long as we don't have that acceptance, then whole Bhagavatam becomes very difficult to follow. So you see the words he has used there? To make us conscious that soul is the reality, not the body. In so many ways, Bhagavatam will tell us these things, right? So here he is saying here, after this Peshakrit, that is this wasp thing, this is happening in the Prakriti, in the nature, right? In the same way, this example of the wasp and this nest, what it makes on the rafters and the creepers and all that, that is an example in the, like the spider, it is another example spoken, right? But if you go into remembering smarana, or Ishvara smarana, Krishna smarana, if you go there it is spoken, avyayam, nirupadhigam, egam, avyayam, all these things, right? You see, that is. Parabharanam paramam, aste kaivalya samidam, keval anubhavananda sandoho nirupadhigam, keval atmanubhavena, sumayam, trigunalpiyam, samshobayan sridatyado taya sutramarindama. Those verses, if you look, that egam avyay, you see, to make us aware that when you come to Krishna, to remember Krishna in this way, which one? Avyayam, nirubadhigam, egam, avyayam. And that is the surubam, that is the surubam of Krishna. Surubam of Krishna. Right? And you are giving it a name, Krishna, or Rama, or Shiva, whatever it is. Right? And if you remember that vastu, which is avyayam, nirubadhigam, egam, avyayam, if you can remember in that surubam form, as Krishna's surubam, Krishna's form, or Ramachandra's form, then you will also become like that. You will also become like that. And that is why when they say that in you get into Vaikuntham, and Vaikuntham you are all like 400 forms. You all have Krishna's form in Vaikuntham. That it is connecting from this. That Vaikuntha form, right? And meditation, dhyanam, this is the last stage in the dhyanam. Today, we think we are this body and we are very strongly grounded on that, isn't it? So, in this situation now, when we are today, where we are today, we are never able to think that all this thing is working because of another power that is inside us, which has no connection with this. That's important. Krishna is inside us, but Krishna has no connection with us in any way. But it is only due to His presence, it's working like this. Only due to His presence, right? And if you are able to remember it that way, through that firm remembrance alone, one day it is possible that we can leave this body and all other subtle body, gross body, everything, and become enter into that body. Enter into that form. Which one? Egam avyayam nirubhadiyam kevalanubhavananda sandoham. We can enter into that. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita have we noticed how it is spoke. Krishna has put that into us. If you look into the last chapter, he's saying that Vishade Tadanandaram, it says, the last line. He says, he enters into me. Remember that? I mean, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has just put on words and left it like that. 31? 55. 55. 55. 55. 55. 55. Bhaktya mam abhijanadi. Iyavan yaschasmi tattvada. Tato mam tattvado jnatva. Vishadeta danandaram. Vishadeta danandaram means he enters into me, he said. And this is that entry what we are talking about. One can understand the Supreme Personality as he is only by the devotional service, and one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. It said kingdom of God, but what it means basically is he can enter into the same as Krishna's form. He will get at Krishna's form. Enter into kingdom of God. So, tato mam tattvado jnatva. The words are very chosen very carefully. Tato mam tattvado jnatva. That means that tattvam, Krishna tattvam, has to be in meditation all the time. And vishade tadanandaram. And you enter into me, he says. So, these are things to be thought through because they are, in Bhagavad Gita, so many things are mentioned like that. And if you keep analyzing it, you will understand. Same thing in the 54th verse. This is 55, isn't it? Yeah. Take chapter 11, 54. The same thing is spoken in a little different way. Bhaktyamam bhaktyatva nanyaya shakya. Aham evam vidho arjuna. Jnadam drashtam cha tattvena praveshtam cha parantava. Praveshanam. Praveshanam means enter into it. Here it said vishade tadanandaram. Here it says praveshtam cha parantava. Praveshanam. Praveshanam means entry into it. Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I understood as I am, standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way you can enter into the mysteries of my understanding. It's spoken in a little differently. Jnadam drashtinja tattvena praveshtinja parandava, says here. And in this says, tatomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Two same things spoken in a little different words. That's all. Important words, they are all. Important verses, right? So, here, Gopya Kamad Bayat Kamsa Deshe Chaityadayo Nrupa. So means Gopi's lust, Kamsa's fear, Shishupala's hate, all these things, right? If they have to become so strong, how much thoughts has to go inside them, inside us, right? Similarly, in the same way, today we are thinking we are this body, right? And that's why we are looking after the body, identifies with it, and maintains it, works for it, rests the body and all that thing, right? So, if I am able to leave this identity with this body, and able to remember Krishna, that Chaitanyam, Krishna, if it, the intensity becomes very strong, then this misunderstanding I have that I am this body, I will lose it. And I will be able to enter into that form of Krishna's body. And that is why we are saying that continuous smarana is necessary. In Viveka Chudamani, how that is spoken is, Mokshakarana Samagriyam Bhakti Reva Gariyasi Swasvarupa Anusandhanam Bhakti Riti Abhidiyade, it says. So you can see from Advaita point of view, bhakti means if you are inquiring about the self and if you are going strongly in that direction, day by day your intensity is building up inside, then so swarupa anusandhanam, it is called bhakti. You are searching for Krishna, that is bhakti. Searching for Krishna. Who is Krishna? Your own atma, your own swarupam. And if you are searching for that, that is called bhakti. So remember I mentioned last time, that bhakti is constantly changing in different forms. At one time that was considered to be bhakti. Advaita bhakti is that. So swarupa anusandhanam bhakti riti abhidiyade. If you look into Bhagavad Gita 12th chapter about bhakti, what is spoken, there you don't see it talking about deity worship or anything, nothing is spoken. Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna yavacha. If you start from that verse. Nirmamo nirahangara sukadukka samakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yad altma drana nishaya may arpita manobuddhi yoman bhakta samay priya. So many verses. All those verses is pointing out only one thing, how inside you are changing. Accordingly your bhakti is building up. But when we could not do that anymore, we found that difficult in the society. That is when the Sharanagati and all other things became much more taken over that. So here, what he is saying here, that Bhagavatam is saying that bhakti will develop and in the heart, and it will make you realize one day in this experience of Krishna. You will experience Krishna inside as the very Atma inside. So any emotion can do that, but it is not practical for us, all these different things, what gopis have done, or what Shishupal has done, or what Kamsa has done, that's not practical for us. Gopis kamam, Kamsa's bhayam, Shishupala's dvesham, don't suit us. For us, the only option is that, is prema, bhakti, prema bhakti. And love for Krishna, and that's what Bhagavatam is telling. And that means, if we are able to see everyone in this world as Krishna's manifestation, and able to deal with everyone in the same way, considering that they are Krishna's manifestation in that way, gradually, this temporary existence, we will lose it. And we will be able to enter into that permanent thing, what is present in this creation. So, continuously one who is contemplating on the Atma, Atma Swarupam, for such a person, this temporary bodily identity, he will be able to come out of it, that consciousness. And he will be able to enter into this actual form, Yadartha Bhava. And that is what this is talking about. There's so much to learn from this wasp and the worm, what it has brought from outside. How the worm turned into wasp, and from that we are learning all these things. So imagine how much the Dattatreya Maharshi has thought about it. Spiritual life is very much like that, isn't it? You know, till we become a little more inward looking, and all these lessons in the Bhagavatam, this is all helping us to become that way, to be more thoughtful and more, rather than becoming very gross and thinking about the world and all the time busy in fixing the world, all that's not going to help very much. But self-realization means that Krishna has to help us, otherwise it's not going to happen. From inside, he has to guide us every moment. And for that, we have to make feel that Krishna is happy with us, that we are coming to the right path and trying to follow what he has taught us, isn't it? Krishna is using this to teach Yadu. But Yadu was a qualified person. Therefore, Yadu made it. Whereas, what's our position? You see, I mentioned in the beginning itself, Saubhari also took time before he realized it. Yayadi took his own time, did he not? So if Yayadi and Saubhari needed so much time, imagine how much time we will need. Yayadi could not control himself. He wanted to enjoy. And he had to wait because of that. Saubhari also same thing. You know where Saubhari did all these things? It's not far from Krishnavalara Mandir. If you go on the Parikrama path, after the Ishkon Goshala is there on the right hand side, further down there is a Saubhari Kund. That's where Saubhari lived. That's where all these things happened for Saubhari. Then, 24th verse, you see there. That is this, Evam Guru. With that 24th one, it is over. 24 spiritual masters. It's over. I think that's enough for us, isn't it? 24. We can't even handle one of them. What to talk about the 24? He says, Evam Gurubhyam Edebhya. Eshame Shikshita Madhi. So Alpova Shikshitam Buddhi. Shrunume Vadada Prabho. 24th verse, he says. So, he's saying, Evam Gurubhyam Edebhya. From all these spiritual masters, I learned many things. Only the essence I have taken, and I fixed my intelligence in that. Means that I got myself convinced that this is how it happens, right? Now, finally he says, I've got one more to say, he said, and I'll tell you what I learned from this body. What the body has taught me. So if he is saying like this, imagine his state of consciousness. How high it is to speak like this, isn't it? We are people, if we don't get our prasadam, we get our whole spiritual life crumbles there. And here is Dattatreya, who has no food, no place to sleep, no clothes, no home, just wandering in this world, completely naked, and sleeping on the rocks, sleeping in the river bed, sand, bathing in the river, not bothered about the food, whether there is food in the next evening meal or anything like that, no concern at all. So a person in that state of consciousness can only study like this. So that means such a strong vairagyam inside has come. That's what that means. That means completely he has disconnected from this world and from the body. The intensity of the vairagyam inside. That's what it is showing that. Deho gurur mama virakti vivega hetur vibrasma sattva nidhanam sadadat yudarkam tatvanyanena vimrshami yatha tathapi parakamitavasito vicharam asangaha jayatma jata pashubhritya grihapta vargan pushnadiyat priyachikeshadaya vitanvan Swande sakracham avaruddhana sadeha srishtvasya bijam avasidadi vrchadharmaham jikhvaiga dochidam bhagarshadi karhitarsha shishnonya dasta gudaram shravanam kutaschil granonya dascha valadrikvaja karma shakter bahuasabatyami vagehavadim linandi. Those three verses are about the body, he said. These three very important verses, and it has that verse is also there in Prahlada Stuti. Which one? 27. Jikhvaigado chuda vigarshadi ma vidrupta. Here says jikhvaigado tuva jikhvaigado uma abagarshadi karhi darshal shishnonya dastu udaram shravanam kudaschil granonya dascha valadrikvaja karma shakter bhukva sabatnimi vagehabadim lunandi. So same thing from Prahlada Stuti also, you will get that same verse, and here also it comes again. So Deham Guru Mama Virakti Viveka Hedu. What he learned from this body, he is saying there. He is saying here that I learned from my own body, he says. What? That this body is a spiritual master. Why? Two things it has created in me. One, Virakti. And second thing, Vivegam. Virakti and Vivegam. Virakti means, you know, Vairagyam. Virakti. No attachment for anything. That has happened. Virakti. And Vivegam, proper sense of discrimination developed in me. What he is saying here is that body has born one day and it will die one day. Ulpati Nasham. It has got that. But when it is there also, it is constantly giving some distress to me. All kinds of distress. That's all it's doing to us. Imagine our loyalty to the body. We are so loyal to the body, aren't we? And this is what he is in return giving it to us. Deham, Guru, Mama, Virakti, Viveka, Hedu. Why? Vibrasma sattvanidhanam sadada tyudarkam. Sadada tyudarkam means day after day it is giving you more anxiety. That's all it does. Constantly put you in anxiety. One part goes wrong, another part goes wrong. And then one day you are looking at the body and thinking that so many places it's not working in the body. So what do you do at the end? If I try to fix one part, other 8 or 10 places it's not working. So you decide, let it go. What else can you do? You try in the beginning when you have some strength to do all that, you try a little bit. But after some time, when so many places in the body is giving you trouble, what do you do? Especially now with this COVID situation. What can you do to fix it? Nothing is working. And it's not only one place it has problem. There's 10 different places in the body, 10 different problems. Some of them cannot be fixed, you know. It cannot be fixed. It's lost its expiry date. It's already gone. And some places you can fiddle with it for some time and keep it going. And then you start thinking the effort required to do all these things is Shiva Shiva. So he's saying here that I learned this, he said here. But only one thing I noticed with this body, he said, if it works, it can help you a little bit in self-realization. That's all. Do you remember what Krishna said about this body? If you look into the 10th chapter, Krishna says things in sometimes. After giving us this body, he's telling us about it. He said in the, if you look into 10th chapter, he said, what this body is does, he said, that... Yeah, 20. We have talked about this before. Ko anurthvam sukhayatyenam kama va mrityurandike aghadam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtida. He says, who on earth will feel happy in this body? He's asking that question, isn't it? He's asking us, who on earth will feel that he is satisfied and happy in this body? Because ko anurtha sukhayatyenam kama va mrityurandike. While he was defeating the argument of Jaimini's Mimamsa, he is saying this. Then you might have, okay, you have done everything very well in this world. You are getting good results from that. But at the end of the day, he says, there is a thing called death. Are you not aware of that, he is asking. And you are making all these big plans and to become happy in this body. But the very body itself is going to leave you one day. Kamava Murtirandike, Akadam Niyamanasya. He compared that with the one who has been destined to be hung. For when somebody is going to be hung, You tell him about the body, how to build the body and how to keep it strong. He won't be interested in listening to you. Even if you offer all kinds of happiness to him, to enjoy, he cannot enjoy it because he knows that he is going to be killed. He is going to be hung next day. So such a person, what can he enjoy, Krishna is asking, in this world? That's what that verse is important. Ko anvartha sukhayatyanam kamo va mrutirandike akhadam niyamanasya vadya sevana tushtira. He says, what happiness has he got in this world? And we are all in that same boat, isn't it? We all know that we are going to go. And we will be slaughtered one day. And that is why Uddhava asked that question. Shuava kharam ajam. Remember? Ekadasham. Shuava kharam ajam. Why these people have this mentality, is saying, to enjoy life, when they know very well that they are going to be slaughtered or butchered next day, any day from then. And so there you can see Krishna is looking at it from a different way. He also mentioned there, karmani dukho narkani kurvan dehena daipuna deham avadayatra kim sukham artya dharmana. Who on earth will think that this material body you can be happy? Kim sukham artya dharmana, in the human body, right? Why? Because all this body does is karmani dukhodarkani. It engages in karma and that brings distress at the end, right? And he'll keep on doing this karma means he'll keep on rotating through the planets, through the different planets, right? And he said that one should realize this. And then he mentioned there, unto 32, 33, all those verses is all about this body Krishna is referring to. Yavasyal gunavaishamyam tavan nanatum atmana, nanatum atmano yaval paradandram tadaivahi. Yavadasyal asudandratvam tavad ishwaryado bhayam ya edal samuvasiyam sthe mukhyandi sujarpidaha. So, you can understand from this where Krishna is saying all these things to us, but we are not able to completely accept it. Yeah? So, here, what he is saying here is that if you know this body, that is the 25th verse, he is saying, it is an apartment you are renting, this body, yeah? And at some stage, you have to hand over this body to the fire. Fire will eat it away. Fire will burn it, isn't it? Turn into ashes, right? Or alternatively, it will be eaten away by the dogs or animals, whatever it may be, right? So you are sitting in a rented property. And while sitting in this rented property, then you are driving a car, and then before the petrol runs out, you should reach the destination. Do you understand that comparison? Don't you? It's easy. That is the goal. That means it's like a car and filled with petrol and given to us to use it properly. So before the petrol runs out, you have to do something, you have to reach your destination before the petrol runs out. But if you start thinking, I got the car, let me use it for some time, enjoy life, then what will happen is, before you reach the destination, the petrol will run out. You know what it means, right? So, first awareness is this, required in spiritual life is this body will go one day. This awareness should be there in all of us, all the time, right? Due to that awareness, feeling detached from the world, not caring much for what's happening in this world, vairagyam has to come from that awareness. And always to recognize that there is one truth inside this body which is keeping this body functioning, right? And able to put all our attention on that. The purpose of all different sadhana and ajaram, anishtanam, all the regulative principles, all of that is this, to keep this consciousness inside. That time is running out, one day body will perish and go. Before that happens, I want to reach the destination. So to keep me focused on that, all kinds of regulative principles, rules, regulations, and different kinds of sadhana, all this is for that purpose. You know, in Kathopanishad, how it is spoken? Atmanam rathinam vidhi, shariram rathameva. You remember those verses? It's in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada has quoted that. You will see that in the, I don't know, it's in the fourth chapter or somewhere. Atmanam rathinam vidhi, shariram rathameva, buddhistu saradim vidhi. Those verses, yeah? That's what it is. We discussed this, rathakalpana, considering this body as a chariot, yeah? Atmanam rathinam vidhi, shariram rathameva cha, buddhistu saradam vidhi, mana pragraham eva cha. Just somewhere in the... I think it's the second chapter. I think. It's there in the... it is in the, from the Kathopanishad, but it has come into Bhagavad Gita also. You can find it, huh? Find it, I'll tell you later. Alpmanam rathinam vidhi, shayiram rathamai vaja, buddhistu saradam vidhi, manapragrahamai vaja. Those things, huh? So, to reach the goal, otherwise we will lose it. We'll lose it, right? We don't know that.
634.
Which one?
634.
634. That's it. Yeah. 634. Altmanam dhadinam vidhi, shariram rasam evacha, buddhistu saradim vidhi, manapragraham evacha, indriyani hayanyahu, vishayan teshu gocharan, atmendriya mano yutto, bhokti tetur ahur manishina. The individual is the passenger in the car of a material body, and intelligence is the driver. Mind is the driving instrument, and the senses are the horses. The self is thus the enjoyer of or sufferer in the association of the mind and senses. So it is understood by great thinkers. Intelligence is supposed to direct the mind, but the mind is so strong and obstinate that it often overcomes even one's own intelligence. Such a strong mind is supposed to be controlled by the practice of yoga. By such practice is never practical for a worldly person like Arjuna, he says. But principle is the same, it doesn't change. So that verse is what is spoken here. So, people, most of the people in this world don't realize all these things. They are in the Brahman, illusion, isn't it? Sit yourself and when you have time and reflect on all these things. Right? And see that our own life was driven by these things. What? The senses and the mind. Senses were driving us in different directions. And to fulfill those, the mind was following that. And what was happening was it was disturbing our mind. All that it was doing was disturbing the mind. So, if you follow those things, yeah, follow those things, dictation of the senses or the mind, actually what is happening is we get, develop stress, tension develops inside, or what they call it as bondage, right? And that's one, when they say that in one man who is married to many wives, they are living in one home, say five wives and five senses, which are considered to be five senses, and each one of them are demanding happiness in its own way. So if you decide to go with one wife, the other four will give trouble. Same thing with the senses. All senses are demanding some gratification, right? So, what you have to remember there is, these five senses, which are compared to five wives in the Shastram. That's the way they say. Above all these five wives, there's another wife, and that is Prarabdham. Prarabdham, right? So, these five senses you are busy with, all five, with the five wives you are busy with. At that time, what Prarabdham does is, it drags us from the middle of that and tells us you suffer this and puts us into something else. These five senses we are busy with, whole life we are busy with it. But while these five wives are doing this, there is another wife called Prarabdham. She comes and she forcefully pulls us from all these five and makes us to suffer somewhere else, in some other form, right? So to know these things, then there is a thing called Prarabdham, and that is what is controlling our life. It is very difficult to for people to recognize all these things, isn't it? Kapila Maharshi waited for Devahuti to come to this understanding. Devahuti realized it one day. It took a long time for her. That's after spending time with Kardama Prajapati, he did everything what a householder has to do, and when the right time came, he said, I'm going. And he left. Devahuti opened her eyes at that time. I got a golden opportunity to associate with such a rishi. And I did not develop the same spiritual desire what he had. How come that he had the strength to leave everything and go? Whereas me, whole life I've enjoyed life and I'm here now in this way. So you can see how Devahuti came to this understanding. And then Devahuti realized it, that what was the problem. That I was surrendered to my senses, Kardama Prajapati was not. Kardama Prajapati had control on the senses. So therefore he did not do the same mistake as I did. And that is why if you look at the opening verse in the Kapilam, first verse he said, Nirvinna Nidaram Bhuman Asad Indriya Darshanal Yena Sambhavyamanena Prabhannandham Tama Prabho, he said. Is it not? So this is coming from that understanding, right? So she is saying here that right now we are still attracted to seeing some beauty somewhere or hearing something nice, and at that time we are not able to recognize that. Is this going to cause me problem or not? We are not able to think like that. We just get driven away, carried away by the sound or the scene, whatever that is attracting us, right? So, and in the deep sleep, we are able to disconnect from everything and go into a very peaceful state, but unable to understand. But even when you are tension free, and even at that time, gradually prompted by the senses, mind goes still in something, after something, right? And we forget this point, that this body what we got now is a result of our actions in the past. In this form what we got here, this product body is a result of our activities what we have done in the past. Husband, wife, children, wealth, home, all these things we have acquired in this world, and in order to keep all that going, we are willing to work any amount of time, because we start thinking through all these things I will get happiness. This is the householder's situation. Householder's situation is like that. And in that way, whole life he keeps spending his time, thinking that he will get happiness from all these things what he has built up in the householder life. So ultimately, before this body drops off, what has happened? In the process of becoming happy in this world, this body what has come to us due to our previous activities, which has created this body. But we never thought about it in that way, that this body is a product of my past activities. Therefore, what did I do? In this body itself, I have been trying to become happy by using this body and the mind and the senses, and I built up an empire of so-called family life, home, wife, children, and money and everything else. And in that way, thinking that I will become happy, right? I lived in that way, and one day the body dropped off, right? But unfortunately, what happened was, during this life, when I was trying to make my life happy here, I have filled myself with fresh vasanas by engaging in karma. That has created fresh vasanas. And that vasana is not leaving me when the body goes. So, he's saying here, just like a big tree, from a small seed it has come out and is grown very big, right? And it leaves a lot of fruits and nuts and its seeds here in the ground. And the tree dies after a long period of time. But by then what it has done is, all the seeds that has left out has come as big trees again. Similarly, this body also is created many more bodies while it was here. That's what he's saying here. Swandesa krachram avaruddha dhanasva deha srishtvasya bijam avasidadi vrikshadharma. Vriksham does that, tree does that, right? Tree grows, and say mango tree, a lot of mangoes came out from the mango tree, and the seed is there. So this mango tree, after a while it dies and goes, but all the seeds are everywhere. So many other mango trees have come from that. In the same way, in this body we have done so much karma, different karma. The result of all that karma is, it has created vasanas inside. That means I've got the seed for several bodies already planted inside my subtle body. That's what he's saying there, right? So while growing this body, it's constantly producing the seeds for the next body or many other bodies afterwards. It's growing that, right? So, what the Tatre Maharshi is saying here, that should not happen, and you should be able to control yourself from going in that direction, right? What he's saying is, from a Rishi's point of view, he's saying asangam. Asangam means without any sangam one should live, and only accept what is necessary for maintaining this body from this world and go ahead further in life. Means not to create fresh vasanas, that means not to create in more karma and free yourself from that. And in that way you can reduce the manufacturing of fresh bodies. Number of bodies, isn't it? So, Jayalpmajartam Pashupratya Grihapta Vargan Pushnadiyal Priyachigeshadaya Vitanvan Swande Sakrachram Avirudhana Sadeham Srishtvasya Bijam Avasidadi Vrikshadharma. Comparing ourselves with the tree. So, for all of us, we have a lot of importance for this body. The different parts of the body are important, and we don't want to lose it, right? We consider every part of the body as important, and we want to keep it working all the time. And then Ayurveda is there to help. A lot of massaging and oils and medicines, everything, and you know, it is, right? to keep it fit. Ayurvedam is like that. Ayurvedam is not... Ayurvedam believes in that. More of a lifestyle which keeps the body fit. Rather than after disease comes and then curing it. It is preventative more that way. Because from Ayurvedan point of view, what they say is that if your body is fit enough, only then you can think properly. If body is agitated with any other way or it's got problems, then you can't even think properly. Only in that case you can enter in, think about this one thing inside, which is Atma, the soul, right? So, properly living a life and continuously keeping the body pure and the mind pure, creating good thoughts inside, only in that way you can enter into the thoughts about the soul. You understand? That means, in Rajogunam and Tamogunam, developing spiritual knowledge is not possible. So, that means to have Sattogunam, you have to cultivate a habit life, you have to have a habit of a proper body and the proper mind, healthy body and a healthy mind. Not in the sense, healthy body, healthy mind doesn't mean that it has to be in Rajogunam, Tamogunam, but it should be in Sattogunam as well. So, Sattogunam and the body in Sattogunam, mind in Sattogunam, all when that is in Sattogunam, will create good thoughts inside, and in that way my body should be protected. That's what he is saying here. In that way, body should be protected, right? And otherwise, not protect the body or maintain the body for the sake of sense gratification. That's the message, what he's saying there. Not maintain the body for the sake of sense gratification, right? So, Krishna, who is inside us as Paramatma, he enters into this creation in the form of Jiva. And he is maintaining this, creating this, maintaining this, and eventually dissolving this, everything. And it's a game for him. That's his Leela. That's why creation is called Srishti Leela, it's called. Srishti is Leela. It's a pastime of Krishna, right? And while this is going on, in the Jiva form, he has to put different dresses on. Is it not? We all have to do it. Throughout life, we have put different mantles on us. One time we were a son for some parents. Then we grew up, we became an adult. And then we became a young man or a young woman. Then we became a husband or a wife. Another mantle you put on. And then you grow further, you became father or mother. Another dress you have put on. So you have to keep on putting on all these dresses all the time, right? So while doing all these things, different dresses you are putting on here, people were thinking that in which is the best dress to find out the truth. I'm putting on so many dresses in this world. I've come here as a boy or a girl, and then you played the role of a son or a daughter for some time, and then you grew up, and then you became a husband or a wife, and you played that role sometime. Then you became a father or mother, you played that role sometime. And then you played the role of father, grandfather or grandmother, and you played that role sometime. Like this, so many dresses, so many forms I had to play, so many roles I had to play after coming here, right? So, and similarly, I also had to play other roles, not only in the human role, in different species, isn't it? Animals, birds, beasts, aquatics, snakes, tiger, all sorts of forms we had to play. So we put on all these different dresses, the Jivatma, and tried everything. What is the best? We tried all the times. And we try to find out which is the best form out of all these things, right? And it's mentioning here that In none of them, what was not possible has happened in the human form. Srishtva purani vividhana jayalma shaktya vrikshan sari sribabashun khagadam shamalsyan taistaira dushtakhdaya purusham vidhaya brahmavalokadishanam udamavadevaha. Very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Srishtva purani vividhani ajayatma shaktya vrikshan sarir sripapashun khagadam shamalsyan taistaira dushtakhdaya purusham vidhaya brahmavalokadishanam udamavadevaha. Brahmavalokadishanam. That means only in this human form it is possible to understand the soul, our identity. In no other form it is possible. That is why it makes it special, this body. And he realized this, that you see, if you this realization has come to me only when I got the human form. When I was a snake, I didn't know. When I was a tiger, I didn't know. When I was a crocodile, I didn't know these things. But when I came to the human form, when somebody told me that this is how it works, and this is the only body where you can understand this. Srishtva purani vividhani ajayatma shaktya vrikshan sari sripapashun gagadamsha malsyan. All species included. Trees, plants, creepers, malsyam, fish, and all other forms. Nowhere I understood this, that it is possible to realize this, who I am, that opportunity, right? So you can see this, that if you give attention, that in all bodies you are different in your behavior, is it not? Different nature, you can say. And you have, depending on the conditions, you have become a different living entity. Different living entity, right? And according to that particular upadhi or body, what you have got, my nature was also like that. That's why I got that body. Suppose I had a snake's nature, snake character. Krishna says you have the snake's body. Similarly tiger, similarly everything else, right? Because then that swabhavam in me will get exhausted through that, right? So in this way, namam rupam, different nama rupam, and all different species, birds, animals, has come into this world. This is how Vedam says about this. What is the reason for this variety? If you ask that question, Vedam's answer is this. Vedam means, otherwise there is no answer. Will the scientist answer that question? Why we have so many different species? They'll say about evolution and all that. That's another story. But this different species, why so many different, 8.4 million different species through which you have, why 10 million? Why 8.4 only? So Vedam is very strict on these things. Very clearly they are saying 8.4 million. And through that you can, soul can go through Jivatma. And eventually it can come to the human form. That's all. That's what it is saying here. So, so birds and trees and all that, you don't have any understanding of all these things, right? So when you come to the highest level, the highest state, to understand these things, you need a suitable body for that, and that is this human body. That's what he is saying here. Brahmava loka dishanam udamapa deva. See how that's stated? Brahmava loka dishanam. That word is a, basically what it means is self-realization. Brahmava loka dishana means an intelligence and a mind suitable for self-realization. Brahmava loka dishana udamapa deva, he is saying. Yeah? So, what does that mean? Brahmava loka dishanam udamava deva means that in other species what I got, in other species, which was sense gratification. All animals, birds, that's what they do, gratifying their senses, looking for something to eat, somewhere to mate, and somewhere to sleep. That's it, isn't it? So I shouldn't use this body, which is can be utilized for self-realization. What Bhagavatam is saying, the superiority of the human body compared to all other bodies. We should understand this body is capable of stopping the cycle of birth and death or transmigration of the soul once for all, if you utilize this body, what has been given to you this time. Why it is? Because body is adhruvam, says. Adhruvam means you don't know when it will go. Nobody knows, isn't it? How long it will stay. Adhruvam. So because it is adhruvam, it says adhruvam, we don't know how long it will last. Therefore, what we have to do, he says, that you should try your best whether you can reach the goal or not. And with that awareness, you should put all your endeavor for that. That's what he's saying, right? Adhruvam. So, death can happen any time. Body can go. So instead of keeping it for tomorrow, then we'll do it at the end of the life, not thinking that way, as early as possible, we should purify ourselves in our mind and try to realize the self. And what he's saying here is that sense gratification is available everywhere. In every species, it is possible. And what is available in all other species, you should not try to get the same in this species also, in the human body, right? And life is not meant to live like this, always in fear and always in distress. That's what is expected from us, right? And the self-realization desire is covered by, because of this desire for sense gratification. That covers everything. But rather we should control those sense gratification and wake up the actual intelligence inside and develop Krishna consciousness that way and realize the self. In this way, without getting attached to the body, excessively attached to the body, and without being attached to anyone, always to travel in this world, fully focused on the Swarupam, on one's own identity of the self, and travel here without thinking, I am this body. That's what he is saying there. Laddhu asudurlabham idam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadiraha turnam yatetanapaded anumurtyayaval nishreyasaya vishayakhalu sarvatasyal. This verse comes earlier also in the Kabilam. Same verse comes. Labdhu asudurlabham idam bahusambhavande manushyam arthadam anityam abhihadhiraha turnam yatet napadet anumurtyayaval nishreyasaya vishayakhalu sarvatasyal. Very powerful voices, words there used to wake us up, because for us the most difficult part is waking up to the reality. We are hearing and we are leaving it. We are not waking up. So that is why it is spoken, right? So here he is saying here that our shanta bhavam, that means Dattatreya Maharshi is saying here, I am so peaceful. Why am I so peaceful? The reason he is saying this to Yadu is that you have asked me that question. Who asked? Yadu. Yadu asked Dattatreya, how come you are so peaceful in life, isn't it? So Dattatreya is saying here, this is the reason why I am so peaceful. This verse is the answer to that. If you have realized this verse, you will be peaceful also in life. I'll also be peaceful. But I forget this verse, so I'm not peaceful. That's what's happening to all of us, isn't it? So, he's saying here, I don't run around that I have to get something in life. I don't run around like that, right? And instead of running around thinking I have to get this, I have to get that, in this way, always lamenting about it, I have come to this conclusion, I have nothing to get here. I have nothing to achieve here. I don't need anything here. That is what has made me to come to this realization, he is saying. That I have nothing to get here. What I am looking for is something different than all these things, what everybody else is looking for. I am looking for my Swarupam, who I am. That's what I am looking for, Dattatreya Maharshi is saying. And that is what keeping me in this situation like the way I am. That was his answer. Labdhva sudurlabhamidam. Because I know that I got this body after going through all the other different bodies. Bahu sambhavande manushyam, this manushya body. Arthadam anityam abhiha dhiraha. Turnam yathet. I am also conscious that this will drop one day. Anytime it can drop. Turnam yathet. Na padet animurti yavel. But before it drops off, I have to make it, he said. So he is so determined. And he is so detached and renounced from everything, vairagyam, to the maximum. So you can see out of the four things, nityanitya vastu vivegam, ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam, shamadamadhi shalsambati, mumukshatvam. The four things required for a sadhana in the jnana margam. So they are out of that, mumukshatvam is very intense in him. Is it not? Mumukshatvam means that I want to make it in this life itself. And therefore, I'm not bothered what is going on in this life, in this world, he says. That is mokshatvam. That's what he's talking about. Mokshatvam. Then, nityanitya vastu vivegam. You already come to the conclusion that everything is temporary here. Permanent thing is only the self inside. So, he's got that as well. And then, all his activities are showing how much controlled he is. Shamam, damam, tiriksha, ubaradi, shraddha, samadhanam, everything in him completely. So practically you will see all these things only in a sadhaka or who is doing sadhana on the very highest level. That's where you find all these qualities. Nityanitya vastu vivegam, ihamutra bhala bhoga viragam, shamadamadhi shalsambati, mumukshatvam. These four qualities what is required in a sadhaka, in the highest level you see in Dattatreya. That is why Krishna has picked him, talking to Yadu about it. And he used him for explaining to Uddhava for the same reason, right? Because Dattatreya says here, I don't need anything from this world. I don't need anything. I'm not looking for anything here. I'm not looking for recognition here. I'm not looking for wealth here. I'm not looking for anything to satisfy me. I don't need anything from here. To say this to this world, it's very difficult for ordinary people, isn't it? Whereas we from day one grab as much as possible from this world for what we don't know ourselves. That's how most of the people live in this world, isn't it? Then, so 24 plus 1, 25, right? The Dattatreya Maharshi has spoken to us. Now, from these 25, if you think about it more, you may find something more from that to learn. What is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita is what Dattatreya has learned from them. And there are other rishis who have analyzed these 24 further and got more from that. You will see many other people, many other great personalities spoken about that. More other things can learn from that. Main thing is that temporary, body is so temporary. And Krishna is only permanent. Nothing else is permanent, right? So, and for us to realize that we are also permanent, that means we are not part of this temporary existence. Like Krishna, we are also permanent, isn't it? Because that's what our identity is, right? But that awareness to come inside us, bodham, awareness to happen, many other different ways, many other examples are also there for this. So that is why it's mentioned Narayano Narasakha Sharanam Prabhadye. He said, remember in the beginning Uddhava said that Narayano Narasakha Sharanam Prabhadye. He said Narayana is permanent and he is also our friend. If we are his friend, we are also permanent like him. Narayano Narasakha Sharanam Prabhadye. I offer to him. So in this way, they are present in front of us as our teachers, all these different entities, and Krishna is guiding us in the form of all these different 24, 25 different forms. Krishna is situated in them and he is guiding us from that body, right? From that form, he is guiding us, right? That's the way we have to look at it. Krishna has come in front of us in the form of these 25 spiritual masters and is guiding us. Here, for example, we are living in this world in a state of avidya, isn't it? We are in avidya all the time. So, sun, the moon, the stars, the birds, the animals, the plants, the trees, human beings, and finally including our own body, all of them, every moment is teaching us something for self-realization. It is teaching us something for self-realization. Is it not? Like body gives you a lot of trouble. What happens? You start realizing that my attachment to the body will go. You start realizing that this cannot be fixed. And you will gradually give up hope on that. If you know something cannot be fixed, then you won't waste your time on that anymore, isn't it? So the same thing, that once you get, body is also teaching me a lesson, isn't it? It's teaching me that don't waste all your time on me. You're going to be disappointed at the end. So if I can learn that lesson from the body, body is my friend teaching me that lesson. In fact, in Narayaniyam also you will see this. What happened was, he came to the temple Guruvayur with a pain, severe pain in the body. And every day he used to compile 10 verses, and at the end, last verse, he used to say to Krishna that unless you take this pain away from arthritis he had, pain goes away from my body, I cannot continue this anymore. So that's why every chapter at the end he says that, release me from this pain. That's how he prayed. But when it came to Ekadasha Skandam, he says to Krishna, all that I have asked you so far was wrong. He said, get me out of this attachment to this body. This is the whole problem, he said. Hi me deha moham teja pavana puradishayal premaheto gehe vitte kalatra dishaja padam tulpadam vismarandi soyam manyeshunuva paramiha parado sampradam cha akshi karnam to jihvagre vigarshandi avashairimada kulpadat kopina tulpadabje. Mirpatur said to Krishna that all these years, because of the attachment to the body, I have been asking you to cure my disease. I am not asking you that anymore. Please take me, free me from this attachment to this body. Because why all this body has done to me is, I want desire for home, money, wife, children, and all other things has developed in me. And due to that, what happened? I have forgotten you. Tulpadam vismarandi. And what is the condition for this body, what I am identifying with? Soyam vane shunova. Either it will be consumed by the fire at the death, or it will be eaten away by the animals. And if that has not happened, before that what happens? Sambradam cha akshi karnam tukha jihva. All the senses are using this body. Vikarshandi, and it disturbs my mind. And I am helpless. Avasha iti mata. But none of them, neither the senses, nor the body, nor the mind, none of them is telling me to come to you. Avasha iti mata kopina tvalpada abje. Nobody is bringing me to you. So why should I go with them? Mirpatur said to Krishna. It's the same thing here also, that we have to be careful while taking these spiritual masters and including this body. We should not get over-attached to the body and thinking that my only concern is maintaining the body and my only concern is that the body has to be in the best condition. That is not possible, Krishna is saying. Body cannot be maintained all the time in the top conditions. But if you can use the body for self-realization, and in that process, if it is helping, use it. That's all you can do with it. So, that's all he's saying here. Then he said, before you lose it, right? Remember always one thing, he said. There's only one thing to be known. What is that? Vadandida tattvavidam, tattvam jnanam advayam, brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabjade. That is a realization has to happen before that. And that thing to be known, that is spoken by known people who have realized it in three different ways. And that power, know it, realize it, and surrender it to that. That's all it is. That's the goal, right? And after knowing that, I don't feel any kind of necessity to attach myself or to associate with anybody. And Yadu realized this. After hearing this, Yadu was convinced. And Yadu left that place. You see? That's what you will see here. Evam sanjata vairagyam. Vijnana alokam atmani. Vijarami mahimeda. Mukta sango anahankriti. Nahya gasmal guror jnanam. Susthiram syal supushkalam. Brahmaida adhidiyam ve giyade bahudarshibhi. Then, Shri Bhagavan Vaja, about Yadu is saying, ityuktva sa yadum vipram tam amandra gambhiradi vandido abhyarthido rajnya yayo prido yathagadam avadhuta vaja shrutva purvesham nasa purvaja sarva sanga vinirmukta samachito babuvaha, he says. Samachito babuvaha. So the thing is this, that what happened to Yadu, he says, Avadhuda, hearing this Avadhuda, Dattatreya Maharshi, Purvesham Nasa Purvaja, Krishna is saying about Yadu. Yadu is, because he is talking to Uddhava now, he is saying Purvesham Nasa Purvaja, right? Krishna is saying with a little pride here, that this Yadu is my ancestor, because he made it in his life. Krishna has a lot of respect for those who makes life a success or realize the self in spiritual life. That's what with a lot of pride he's saying, Krishna is saying there, that he is my Purva Pidamaha. Purvesham Nasa Purvaja. That means he's not a grandfather or great grandfather way before that, few generations before. Purvesham Nasa Purvaja. And he said, Sarva Sangha Vinir Mukta. He broke away from all connections with this world. Samachito Babuvaha, totally peaceful and satisfied, he left this world, he said. So here, Krishna's point is that Yadu has made it in his life, right? And what is that? From his own experience in life, he understood this world and life properly. And by instructions received from Dattatreya, he developed this knowledge and reached himself into the very highest stage. Now, we also have to look at it this way. We are hearing all these things and we understand some of the things, whatever extent we have understood that, right? And we also deal with other people in this world. We have to interact with them. And we also have to leave this body one day. In that way we should think about ourselves. That we also have to leave this body one day. And we also have to interact with other people in this world. And what should be within us, ourselves. And the things that is spoken are very gahanam. Gahanam means very deep inside. And if you think about it a lot, you will get to, it will become your own nature. In other words, right? The important thing is to think in a deeper level, that habit, sushma, more sushma, right? In the same way, in this world also, if you look around, apart from these 24, 25, even from a grass you could learn many things, a blade of grass, or a grain of sand, you could learn things from that. So, many, many things in this world, if you observe their existence here, there will be something for all of us to learn from them. Something to learn from them also. Like the sky, from the sky, there is the rain comes from the clouds, isn't it? And from the same cloud comes sunshine also. From the sky comes sunshine. Sometimes cloud comes and rain comes, sometimes sunshine comes. In the same way, happiness and distress will also be there in life. Sometimes happiness, sometimes distress. So therefore, he says, let it be like the sky. We have to remain like the sky, unaffected by the rain or the sun, whatever that. Clouds come and they cover the sun. And that time it is, darkness. When the clouds go away, sunshine comes and there is light. Right? Similarly, if you look at different plants and trees, everything, from every tree, every plant, there is something to learn. That's what Shastram says. Even trees, which are, you know what they call it as, cactus is it, which has got thorns on that. Even from that there is something to learn. Only thing is you have to analyze it very deeply inside. Similarly, from rose tree, rose flower. Rose flower is nice, but everything else centered around rose is little hard. The thorns around that. Why it is like that? All those things has to be thought through. Bees are coming and hovering around the flower and trying to get only the essence from that flower. Similarly, from this life also. So, lot of spiritual masters can be there. Not only these 24 plus 125, many more. So, that is why it said, Gurave sarva loganam vishaje bhavaroginam sarva vidyanam dakshinamurtaye namah. Dakshinamurti is present as Guru in this world in all different forms. All this is possible only when we develop that vision for ourselves to look at it, right? So, historically, people had this nature of accepting everything as Guru in this world. Traditionally, it was like that. People had that nature. But gradually, we have become very much like in the way it is today. So, all we can do is that we have to ask Krishna to help us here. That whenever an opportunity comes at the right time, properly to teach us the right lesson from different sources. And in order to do that, to remove this desire for sense gratification and purify us, so that we become fit and qualified candidate for self-realization. So, I'll stop there today. We'll finish. You know we have time changes now, isn't it? From next Saturday, it is in the morning. We start at 6 to 9, 3 hours. And similarly, on Sunday, 7 to 11. That is from next week, tomorrow also. So, we'll finish 4 hours on Sunday, 3 hours on Saturday. Saturday 6 to 9 and Sunday 7 to 11. Then, this year there is Ratha Yatra, I believe so, that was told. That means there is a Snana Yatra, which will be at the manor, and then Ratha Yatra also will be there. That's the plan. I suppose that government may not cause any objections to it. But whatever it is, we will have the classes on that day. Snana Yatra and Ratha Yatra. which is both on Sundays, right? And then we will have also Janmashtami classes. Then we have end of this month, whole week, and then Janmashtami classes all at 7 to 11, that way. Yeah? So I'll stop there today. We'll continue next term. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.